And this crowd is on its feet, and it is pandemonium. And that's only the half of it.
He's coming to the house. He's doing it again. My man. Touchdown, Buffalo.
I like that kind of party, baby.
Halftime is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop C.J. Spiller. You can't stop him. How did he do it? How did he do it?
Just being able to go out there and move, you know what I'm saying, get the herky-jerky back.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Family-owned and locally operated since 1933. At home, at work, and on the go, NOCO.
Everybody's on their feet in the stands. This crowd has absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Welcome back to John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO for Bills Training Camp. And joining us in our studio at training camp is defensive lineman Kyle Williams. Thanks for coming by, Kyle.
You got it. Anytime.
We're winding down this training camp, your eighth training camp. And I would imagine as you look back, no two of these camps are really that much alike, are they?
No. You know, everyone's different. Everyone has its special challenges, you know, especially for me going, you know, through some foot issues the last, you know, 2-3 years. So, you know, everyone's different, especially when you have new coaches, new things coming in. So it'll be nice to get home.
It's been talked about as being kind of a tough physical camp. Do you agree with that, even with your limited work, you know, with it coming back from the foot?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a physical camp, you know, but Chan had some physical camps too. You know, yeah, I remember when Coach Gailey's first year here, our first day we were in full pads. We did live goal line at the end of practice. So, you know, every camp's physical. You know, there's different nuances, I guess, between regimes. You know, some things are focused on more than others. But I think all in all, it's been a really good camp.
Is it at all difficult for you, Kyle, in your eighth year to, with so much upheaval and so much change in the coaching staffs, to not be jaded, like, yeah, whatever, I've gone through this before? I mean, you can't afford to do that, but is it tough to take a fresh approach when there's so much change?
Well, to be honest with you, I've never really thought about it that way. Yeah. You know, just, you know, I really have kind of grabbed on the old cliche, you know, every time I come out here every day, you know, I'm just going to try to get better at what I'm doing, whether it be run or pass, or whether it's a foot day. You know, I need to get my foot better. I need to make something better with that. You know, I've got a lot going on with me trying to focus on my job and doing my job better so I can help our team than to worry about all that other stuff.
Let's talk about your foot. You had surgery when? In January for the
first
bone
week
spurs?
Of February.
First
yep.
Week, on the bone spurs on the other side.
Yep.
Similar to what you did on the other side the year before.
It was exactly the same spot, and you can probably see my scars and vary the exact spot. The damage wasn't what the other one was. You know, the other one cost me to miss, you know, 12 or 13 games, something like that, you know, ended my year. Where this one was getting worse, we would eventually been there, whether it had been this year or next year, or who knows when, but we had some time. You know, this time to, you know, hey, let's go in and get that thing out so we can be moving forward and up rather than trying to maintain or getting worse. So I'm excited about this year and, you know, and even further from now, looking in the future, knowing that, you know, I've got two good feet.
What did you have done this past year? The right heel?
Yes. My right foot, they went in and detached my Achilles. I'm not totally sure, but I think it was between 60 and 70% of my Achilles, and took a lot of bone growth off the back of my heel. Did some repairs there and then put it back down.
And based on what you learned a year ago on that surgery and the recovery time and how you felt, did that make you more encouraged to do the surgery on this foot and do it early, as you said, in February?
Well, I knew what the rehab length and the ups and downs of it entailed. I knew that it's a long recovery process until you feel right. You'll become functional in what you're doing well before you actually feel good. So I knew what was in front of me, but I also knew what was out there if I didn't go ahead and take care of it when I did, you know, this off season and go ahead and try to get better. So, like I said, I'm excited about getting better. I'm excited about what we're doing and looking forward to the season.
And you're getting team reps now playing. Are you full go almost, or are you still kind of?
You know, I actually only – I guess we weren't in pads the first 2 days, and I just did individual the first couple of days. And, you know, our first 2 or 3 days in pads, I took – you know, 2 or 3 team reps here or there, and now I'm pretty much full go. You know, there's there's ways to handle things, and I said the only way that this is going to get better if I'm out there playing football and I feel comfortable with it, not only for my foot but for my game. You know, I want to feel comfortable out there, which is a lot of it.
Kyle Williams, our guest, Bills defensive tackle. The news earlier today, Kyle, that Ryan Lindell had been released, a teammate of yours for a long time, which leaves you, by our count, as maybe the longest tenured Buffalo Bill. How do you feel about that?
I don't know how to feel about that. You know, Ryan, obviously, he was a great pro, great guy, big family man. We're going to miss him around here. But, you know, you hang around long enough, you know, I've been here long enough. I've seen Schoble and Kelsey and Mormon and, you know, lots of guys move on. Yeah. And, you know, it's just the nature of this business. And we all know that our time is coming eventually. You just have to make the best of your time now. And as far as the oldest Bill, I don't guess I have any comment on that.
Not the oldest, but the longest.
Longest tenured. Well, you know, we've really enjoyed our time here.
Yeah.
You know, and we're happy to carry that flag. Have been here for, you know, eight years going on more.
You know, I was thinking about this when they shot the, you know, they have the camera in the pregame locker room now for games. They did it at the stadium last Friday night, and a shot of you talking to the team pregame. I don't think there was audio, but there was definitely video. How long have you probably a good thing.
Yeah, it's probably a good thing, yeah.
How long have you assumed
especially
that?
My kids are
watching. Yeah. How long have you assumed that role as sort of an inspirational leader, a guy who would speak up in the locker room?
You know, it's just, I think I play with a lot of passion, a lot of emotion. And if you catch me any day from Monday until Sunday, I'm not like that, you know, for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty even keeled, laid back. And, you know, it's just something about the game. It's something about the competition that, you know, that really, really gets me going. And I think guys recognize that in me, and they have for years. And they've always just kind of looked at me like, all right, you're the guy, let's go. And kind of fed off of that, you know, because they know I do run on such a red line, you know, on game day. And it's just something that's kind of, I guess, fallen in my lap, or, you know, something guys have enjoyed. And you know, no matter how good or bad, you know, a pregame speech could be, it's not going to make you win a football game, you know, but I think it can get guys excited to play.
As Coach Marone or anybody in this coaching staff come to you and talk to you about not necessarily pregame speeches, but about leadership, maybe leading by example, assuming that role in the advanced stage of your career here?
Yeah, no, you know, not really. I think that I've, with my work and the way that I've handled myself, you know, on the practice field, on the game field, you know, it's gotten respect from my teammates and the players, and they know, and my coaches, and they know what they can expect from me, you know, every day. And, you know, I've led that way, you know, and when things need to be said, and for a long time, I've led that way. You know, when guys are out of line, guys need to tighten up, you know, I'm not afraid to say anything. And I think a lot of that comes with comfort. I mean, some guys aren't comfortable doing that, no matter how young or how old they are. Me, I am. It doesn't bother me. You know, you can be mad at me. You can be happy with me. I'm going to be the same guy. So, you know, I teeter back and forth both ways, but, you know, I'm willing to do anything.
Part of what Coach Marone is doing, I think, and part of what he's talked about doing is changing the culture here, the culture of, you know, no playoffs, losing for 13 straight years. How successful has he been to this point in changing that culture?
Well, you know, that's always a tricky topic, you know, because you can't change the culture unless you're out there winning football games.
Right.
You know, expectations will change from coach to coach, and you know, he's really big into the small things, which are great. You know, small things become big things. I absolutely believe that. Have since college, and you know, playing for Nick Saban, and you know, just continue to push, set a higher set of standards for, you know, not only for him, he does for himself, but for his players. And hopefully, you know, those players have just as high as expectations of themselves. And, you know, then, you know, I think the only way that you can change a culture is you have to go and win football games. I mean, we've added some good players. You know, schematically we're doing some things differently. You know, and most of these games come down to 4 or 5 points, 3 or 4 plays, you know, a game. And, you know, we've got good players. Hopefully make 3 or 4 of those plays and flip a thing around. And, you know, magically the culture's changed. But I think the only way you can do that is win football games. It's not about talking about it. It's not about we're going to do this differently, do that differently. We have to go out and win football games.
You've won 2 preseason games. I know preseason games don't count, but winning those games, does it help a little bit? Does it matter a little bit in terms of changing the culture and changing the expectation level you talk about?
Well, I think winning's a habit,
yeah.
You know. You go out there and you roll your helmet out there, and, you know, you shrug it off when you get beaten. You know, it's just the preseason. I've never quite been able to buy into that. You know, I've told the defense, you know, hey, listen, if they're moving the chains, if they're keeping the score, we're here to win. You know, we're not here to fool around and say, oh, it's the preseason, it's not that big of a deal. You know, because what you let slip by, you encourage. And I think, you know, winning's a habit. And if we can get in the habit of taking over games and winning football games and closing out games now, no matter who's playing, it's only going to help our team.
Kyle Williams, our guest, Bills defensive tackle, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from Bills training camp. It appears early on that there is, because of the kind of the versatility that Coach Patton puts in his defense, that there's a big role for you to play because you've played several different positions up front. You've played the nose. You've played three technique. You can move around a little bit and maybe help in this versatile move that they have going.
Yeah. I've been around and played some different positions and done some different things, and you know that's only helped my game, you know, as a whole. And you know, coming in with the different things that we're going to do in this defense, moving here and there, you know, disguising some things, you know, it only helped, you know, acclimate me that much faster to it.
Was there a lot to learn getting into this defense for you?
Yeah, there's a good bit of learning for all of us, you know, just trying to, you know, figure blitzes out from different personnels. And you know, there's a lot of different ins and outs to this defense that are a little more intricate than things I've played in the past.
You play next to a guy who's a very talented guy, third overall pick a couple of years ago, Marcell Dareus, and he's had, you know, some bumps in the road during his first few years. Where is he now? What do you see from him this year that might lead you to think that he's pointed in the right direction and ready to go forward?
I think Marcell's coming on. I really do. You know, just kind of watched him. It's always been a factor, like, you know, we want him to be more consistent and show, you know, when he flashes, you know, he can knock your socks off. And, you know, it's like, hey, listen, you know, we need to stay at this, you know, it's all the time. I mean, you're not always going to make that great play, but you're never going to make that play if you're not going all the time. And, you know, just being more consistent and staying after guys. And, you know, obviously he's dealt with a lot of things, personal issues, and which, you know, I can't imagine trying to come back from and play a football season in. And, you know, we just tried to support him and be there for him, and now just trying to push him and get him to be the best Marcell he can be.
Kyle, I came across the quote from your new defensive line coach, Anthony Weaver, who said, pound for pound, you are the best athlete on the team. What do you think of that?
Well, I mean, I think he's probably talking about a beer league type deal, you know, talking about, you know, getting all kinds of different sports.
And, well, you know, you hit the home runs and
yeah, hit BP home runs and play swimming. Golf and swim. And, yeah. You know, I growing up, I've always, you know, played a little bit of everything, done a little bit of everything. And most things I can pick up pretty quickly, yeah. and do it, you know, pretty effectively. It irritates my wife to no end. but, you know, I'm obviously that's something that's not really cultivated. That's something you're blessed with, you know, to have just been able to pick up things pretty quick and play them effectively and have fun and talk a little trash when I beat somebody when I'm new at it.
When you look, I know you're probably not in a reflective mode right now, but when you look at where you've come from, and you came into the league as a fifth round draft pick off some championship teams at LSU, when you look back, do you think you were underdrafted?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought about that.
Well, I mean, I don't think about it.
Right.
You know, I thought about it that day.
Yeah.
And I haven't thought about it since, to be honest with you, because, you know, after that day, I mean, that's in the past, you know, you can't control much of it. But, listen, I, you know, without, you know, patting myself too much on the back for my college, you know, I made all conference, you know, a couple times. I was an All-American as a senior. You know, I'm playing a lot of the same guy. I'm looking at the NFL as a senior. I'm like, well, I remember playing against this guy or that guy or those guys, and you know, and had good games and had good years. And it never dawned on me that my game wouldn't, you know, correlate to the NFL.
Sure.
I mean, honest to God, it never crossed my mind. It's like, you know, that's a completely different. That's a completely different game. The football is different. Yeah. I can't do that. Yeah. You know. Football's feels the same. The guys are still trying to block the same way. What's the problem? And I just came in and did what I always did. You know, work hard, play hard, and I figured eventually that, you know, my teammates and my coaches would see the kind of player I was, and they would want me out there playing as much as I could be out there. And like I said, we've been blessed and lucky to be in Buffalo, and we're here, and we're hoping for a big year.
You know, because I think when you came in as a fifth rounder, maybe because you were a fifth rounder, people watch you play and say, oh, he's a, you know, he's an effort guy, a high motor guy, which is a compliment. But it's also almost saying he's not as much, you know, there's not much talent there, but the guy really works, you know, works his butt off. Did you ever feel like you were pigeonholed in that, in that way?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, but I mean, 75% or 80% of the draft can say that, you know. Like, oh, you know. Or, I mean, you can, it can be just as big a stigma of the guy's like, great athlete, doesn't work that, you know, I mean, yeah. it can go both ways. I mean, I think the best players, you know, I mean, you have good players that are really good athletes, work ethic might not be that great. You have good players that are average athletes, but they work their butt off. And then you have guys that are great players, or the guys that you see in Canton that are extremely talented players, but they also work their butt off. So, you know, whatever my talent level is, you know, I've always wanted to give it the best opportunity to succeed by working as hard as I possibly could.
You've worked your way into 2 Pro Bowls in your 7 years with the Bills so far. Does that ease the pain of not having postseasons to look at since you've been here?
Not really. You know, it's hard because, you know, I go out there and, you know, and I'm talking with Jason Witten, and they're talking about, you know, the playoffs, or I talked to, you know, Peyton Manning, and he's won a Super Bowl, and college teammates of ours have won Super Bowls and been in the playoffs. And, you know, as a competitor, you know, I just want to win, and I want to win every time I go out there. And I'm not just talking about games. I'm talking about every single snap. You know, when I'm looking at somebody, I want to win. And hopefully, you know, our whole team is getting to that point where it's not just about a game or a quarter or a half. It's every single play. It's a mentality. And I think the more that we can get that going, the more we can get to the playoffs, and then, you know, kind of that where we want to be, you know, that's gonna trump anything individually that can happen.
I know you don't have a crystal ball, but do you feel like you're closer to that now than you maybe have been in recent years?
I think so. You know, I felt like we were closer to the start of last year, and, you know, and we had consistency problems, and then we lose, you know, 3 games there in the last, you know, minute of the game. And, you know, and that comes back to, you know, that comes back to those 3 or 4 plays. You know, when you get good players, and hopefully those players can make the difference in those 3-4 plays a game. And, you know, you win a couple of those and we're a little more consistent, you know, you never know where we might go.
Kyle, it's always great talking with you.
You got it. Anytime.